It's the A&M Consolidated Tigers' seventh game of the regular season, and the march to the playoff goes through the Katy Paytow Panthers this afternoon. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our pregame visit with Coach Lee Fedora as we get ready for this afternoon's matchup with the Katy Paytow Panthers from the newest high school stadium in Texas, Legacy Stadium in Katy. I'm Mark Green sitting in for Mike Wright. Last week, the Tigers beat the then-undefeated Lamar Consolidated Mustangs 34-28. Lee, Lamar came in undefeated, and though the teams they played didn't have a very impressive combined record, they certainly lived up to their 5-0 record, never giving up against the Tigers.
Well, you know, I was very impressed with them. They had some great athletes on the field and did some things, but, you know, I was very proud of our kids. We fought the whole way through, and, you know, we made some mistakes, but we fixed them at halftime. And like we always say, it's all about the W. You come away with the win, and that's the most important thing.
Well, there's no scoring in the first quarter, and they obviously dominated the time of possession. What was Lamar doing to keep your offense off the field?
I think the big thing they like to do is they like milking the clock and just getting those yardage. You know, there was a lot of times they would get second and six and a third and three and kept going on it and doing the things. But, you know, overall they had a power running back. You know, our defense coaches were upset the one time we had them in a big stop and the kid just carried the whole group, you know, another 15 yards for a first down. But, you know, like we tell the guys, you got to be prepared for anything and everything. They're undefeated. And, you know, it was going into this game knowing that if they beat us, then they're going to be ahead of us in district. But now we're ahead of them in district, and that's the main thing.
What were they doing defensively to keep the pressure on Caden? The thing that struck me was there were four sacks in the game, and what was the pressure up front on the O-line? And was it a case of well-covered receivers, or was Caden was there just absolutely nowhere to go with the football because of the defensive backfield?
I think a couple times we got out of the pocket a little bit too soon because we had it, you know, sealed inside. But, you know, it was just one of those deals. They were doing different things up front. They had one good defensive tackle that had a lot of push, and he was getting off a block sometimes. But, you know, overall, I thought, you know, our guys did a decent job. We were able to do some things, but like we always talk about, there's things we got to get better at. Two goals we hadn't achieved all year long, scoring in the first possession each half and having no turnovers. And that's something we got to get fixed. But, you know, it's like I told our kids right now, we're leading the district in offense, and we're pretty balanced. We've got 1,094 rushing yards, 1,418 passing yards for averaging 418. But those are great stats when you look at it, but it ain't great when you got the turnovers and not scoring in first possession each half.
Well, I know we talked a couple of weeks ago specifically about several of the athletes on the football team, and it seems like that you guys are very loaded with good athletes in skilled positions, and even offensive line, defensive line, that sort of thing. But a name that we've called a lot this year is Brian Darby. I thought Brian had a very breakout game this week, very talented athlete. Talk a little bit about what was special about his performance and what he brought against Lamar.
Well, I think the thing that stands out about Brian Darby is, you know, we went to him and I talked to him, you know, last week and said, hey, we may run you at some tailback and stuff. He said, Coach, I'll do whatever it takes. And he's a power running back. You can see he can make big plays out of the backfield. Great thing is then, you know, when Julius Howard's in there at tailback, we throw him out of receiver and he's making big plays out of receiver. And I think all that shows is that we got talent everywhere and a lot of depth in that, and that's a big help for us. But I'm very proud of Brian Darby to be able to just jump around in any position and play and understand it. And that just makes you see what type of player he can be at the next level.
Well, it's good because to your point, it gives Julius a much-needed rest. He's kind of carrying the load at the running back right now. But you also run the Wildcat with Nate Floyd back there. He gives you a lot of different options. And to that point, talk a little bit about Julian Howard's 98-yard run. I know probably in your 20 years of coaching, you don't see very many of those. What was special about that play? How did the stars line up? What caused that breakout?
Well, they were kind of loading the box inside, so that's why we put the outside stretch. And it started with our line. They did a great job, but then our fullback did a great job coming out of the backfield, picking up the linebacker, and then Julius just showed his speed. He got to the outside and turned it on, and very proud of him having a big run like that. You know, a 98-yard run, that was a kind of turning point in the game. And, you know, I liked how Julius just kept his head into it and kept fighting and going all the way through to the end zone and finishing off. That was a great run.
I've got to think on tape or on film that preparing for the Lamar Consolidated, that being such a young team, that they probably came out better prepared than what you had anticipated.
Well, we went in looking at their film, and they were running a certain defense and playing pure man up in your face, whole deal. But then against us, they didn't do that. It was a whole different change, and that's why I think when we got in at halftime, we were able to make the adjustments in, and then we started hurting them more in the run game and the passing game. But I was very proud of our guys because I told them, you never know what a defense is going to do. You prepare what you see on film, but you got to be ready for changes, and they had changes, and our guys adjusted and did a good job.
Coming out in the second half, you guys had deferred, so you received the kick. They kick off. Of course, they spot the ball down. They start the time. You've got to take a timeout. Is that what the cause of the timeout was, is you were running out of time, or did you see something you wanted to take advantage of?
Well, it was two things. One thing we've got to do a better job of, and I'll take the blame on that as a coach. You know, that's the new rule UIL's put in and starting the play clock early. We got to have the play ready, and we got to get on the field and be ready to go. But like I tell my quarterbacks, clock's running. You got to be ready to go. Now, Darby will admit on this, we had a play called and he was confused what he was doing, and when we saw that they had lined up in a different look that we were wanting, that's why we took the timeout to go ahead and get it adjusted. I know a lot of people don't want to waste a timeout, but I don't want to sit there and have a first and 15 and like we've done the last couple weeks, so we used the timeout and we were able to adjust to it.
We'll talk a little bit about your special teams. How did you feel like – I know you've made some adjustments over the weeks, and I didn't look at the board on the way in, so I don't know how they graded out this week. But special teams, talk a little bit, and I like to give you the opportunity to give kudos where kudos are deserved after watching film, watching the game, that sort of thing. So as we wrap up here before we turn the page, talk a little bit about special teams. Talk a little bit about the guys that really did outstanding jobs last week.
I thought we did a great job in our special teams, to be honest with you. We got every goal except one. We had that one miss. Extra point, and Colby McBurdy will tell you that's his fault. And you know, good thing is he doesn't let that get in his head. You know, that's a goal that we always want to achieve, because you know, like I tell him, that one point could change the game, because then if they get that onside and they go in and score, they can win the game by one. So you know, those are things. But I thought Colby did a good job in his kicking on the kickoffs and stuff, and we had pretty good coverage, and we got every goal, and that's a big plus when you get five out of your six goals. But like our kids will tell you, they're not happy because they didn't get all six goals.
Paytow is the new varsity program this year. Mike and I remember well the game against Cy Woods when they were a new team, but the team had been together since her freshman year, which meant the chemistry was good. Paytow coming in at 3-3 as a new school tells you that you can't take the Panthers lightly.
No doubt. You know, they're going to have some big kids in that, and when you look at their stats and everything, you know, right now in their offense, they love to run the football. They got over 1,100 yards in rushing and that type deal. Defensively, they're second in the defense in our district right now, only giving up 887 rushing yards, 796 passing yards for a total of 280 yards a game. So it's one of those things I tell our guys, we don't take anybody lightly. We get prepared for each and every week, because when you look at their record, you know, right now in district, they're 2-1, we're 2-1. So if they beat us, they're ahead of us in district. So we're taking this as another big game.
Major Payne, is that a great name for a running back or what? He comes in at district's leading rusher with 829 yards. That seems to be the focus of their offense.
Yeah, no doubt. They like to run the football, and, you know, they're kind of the old school. They're going to run the buck sweep and do things like that, and I think their coach does a great job, you know, with the new school and everything, and I think they're getting better each and every week. And so one thing we've got to be prepared for, and we talked to our defense about it all week this week, they're going to be a team. If they can run and pound, they're going to love to milk the clock and keep the ball out of our hands. So we've got to do a good job trying to get a lot of three and outs and putting points on the board early to get them out of their comfort zone where they got to throw the ball to get back into the game. But our guys have done a great job this week, because it's been a crazy week with the weather and all the rain and cold, but it's finally football season. You can tell it's the cold weather and the energy, and our kids are a lot better. And it is a little bit different for us this week playing on a Saturday at 2 p.m., but our guys have been prepared for it, and they're excited about it.
Their defense, as you mentioned, comes in ranked second, only giving up 280 yards a game. What makes their defense so good, and who are their defensive skill players?
I think one thing that they do a great job of, you know, they're running a lot of odd front. They're in a lot of 3-2, and they play a lot of soft man. But when you're trying to call out their rush in and drop ins, you got to be prepared, because they're going to be in a knock. They're going to have that, even though you call it their drop in, he's back looking like safety, and right before the snap, then he comes down and gets in your face in a hurry. So we've worked hard this week about blitz adjustment, calling out where number three is and doing things like that, because that's the guy that likes to come bringing a lot of blitz. And, you know, it's one of those things. Each and every week we prepare for all different fronts and being ready for it, and we've had a great week of practice.
Well, last week, the Paytail Panthers lost to the Rudder Rangers, giving up 53 points, still being the second-rated defense in district. Where was their breakdown defensively, and is that something that you think the Consol Tigers can exploit?
Well, I think the one thing Rudder hurt them on, we saw a couple times they hit them on post routes and had big plays on them, and the thing that hurt Katie in that game is a lot of turnovers. You know, they gave the ball back and had miscues on special teams and things like that, so it's one of those things I think Rudder took advantage of, and they jumped on them early and got them out of their comfort zone. But like we tell our guys, we don't worry about any opponents. So us playing our game, we got to go out there and do our style of football and see what we can do, and we feel like we can hurt them in the passing game and the running game, but it's going to be determined what they give us defensively to see what we got to do.
Well, finally, Lee, it's a rare Saturday game for the Tigers. How does this change your routine, and are you a fan of playing at times other than Friday nights? I would think that this would be considered preparation for playoffs, as Friday night games are not necessarily a given during the postseason.
I'll be honest with you, I like Friday night football. That's what I like, you know, and all that type stuff. But we tell our guys, you got to be prepared for anything and everything. We can't worry about it because, you know, this week was a good week for us because we had to practice in pouring down rain and freezing cold weather, you know, that type deal. Because I told the guys, you never know, even though Saturday it's at 2 o'clock, I'm hoping it's a cold game and not burning hot, you know, type deal. But we're ready for wet balls and all that, and our guys have adjusted well. And it hadn't changed our practices up. We've done our normal practices. The difference is Friday usually we play on a game, but we're going to have practice on Friday during the period also to get ready for it and do the things that we need to do. And that's one thing I think our kids have adjusted to. We're getting extra workouts in the weight room because we got an extra day to prepare, and our guys are hammering in the weight room doing the things to show that strength.
Well, that'll do it for our pregame visit with Coach Lee Fedora. When we return, Mike and I will have the starting lineups. It's the Consolidated Tigers visiting the Katy Paytail Panthers at Legacy Stadium in Katy. I'm Mark Green in for Mike Wright, and you're listening to A&M Consolidated Tiger Football.